You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast discussion of Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. As we chat late this Thursday evening, we now have two new Rockets to welcome to the fold, those being guard D'Anthony Melton out of USC and forward Vince Edwards out of Purdue, both selected by the Rockets in the second round of Thursday's NBA draft. Melton drafted number 46 overall, which was the pick we knew the Rockets had going into the night. And then Vince Edwards out of Purdue selected number 52 overall with a pick the Rockets acquired from the Utah Jazz. I'm not going to pretend that I have done advanced scouting reports on either of these guys. I am just learning about this in the last few minutes the same way that you guys are. We'll have more in-depth scouting reports in the days ahead, possibly an interview or two as well, if we can get that. And we'll also have analysis of anyone else the Rockets bring in. I'm sure there are going to be some other guys they bring in for summer league and potentially looks in training camp as well as preferred undrafted free agents that should leak over the coming hours and days. For now, though, immediate reaction to the two picks. Melton at 46 overall, a guard out of USC, did not play this past year because of some eligibility questions with the NCAA. He did play in the 2016-2017 season, averaged 8.3 points, 4.7 rebounds, 3.5 assists per game, 44% from the field. Known as a limited shooter, but they say his form is actually pretty good, according to the scouting reports that I've read, most notably Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. We'll have some insight from Jeremy in just a moment. But Melton fits the profile on a lot of areas of a typical Rocket in that he's a strong defender. He's been compared to the likes of Pat Beverly, Avery Bradley, and just a well-rounded player. While not a true point guard per se, he's enough of a ball handler to handle it in a pick-and-roll scenario. Between that, the defense, he kind of profiles as an ideal off-guard in the James Harden era. We saw how much success Pat Beverly had, and certainly Beverly was not traded because they thought he wasn't a fit. It was just he had to be traded to bring in Chris Paul, one of the best players in the entire NBA. And if there's one thing we've seen from the Rockets in the Daryl Morey era, this goes all the way back a decade ago to when they took the gamble on Kyle Lowry, trading for him, I believe, mid-2009. And I think they pursued him before that in the draft. But what the Rockets are willing to do, they will gamble if your relative weakness is your jump shot. And I use weakness with air quotes here because they do say Melton's form is good, which makes it all the easier to improve. But in general, especially with guards, what we have seen is a willingness by the Rockets that if your tools in other areas, your defense, your handles, your length are good. I believe Melton has a 6'8" wingspan as well, 6'4". So he's, while a point guard in name, he's definitely a combo guard in terms of his range. If your tools are good in terms of your versatility, the diversity of your attack, then they believe that with professional coaching, hours in the gym, their teachers, that they can refine your jump shot. So Melton fits with the mold that Daryl Morey has looked at historically. And in the short term, we mentioned that because the Rockets already have an existing pipeline of big men, Isaiah Hartenstein, Joe Chi, Chinonu Anuaku, that it made sense, probably guard first and foremost, because they never filled that fourth guard spot behind Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon this past year. They tried to look externally, guys like Jameer Nelson, but they were unwilling to take the role, a combination of lack of money and lack of guaranteed minutes, because when Paul, Gordon, and Harden are all healthy, those 96 minutes in the backcourt are all spoken for. So if the Rockets are going to develop that fourth guard, and it's clearly needed, because even if the minutes are spoken for when everyone's healthy, well, what happens when an injury happens, as happened to Chris Paul multiple times during the year, including in the Western Conference Finals? Well, if you can't find that fourth guard behind them to a suitable extent externally, then you need to develop it internally. That's what draft picks are for. Melton was seen as high as a mid-first-round pick by some. There were some concerns because they really hadn't had game tape on him since the 2017 season, but that's just because of NCAA eligibility issues. From all accounts, he interviewed very well at the various interviews he went on throughout the NBA scouting circuit. So all in all, I think teams feel pretty good about that investigation being closed and there being no character concerns of anything or anything to that nature. All that said, other than the fact that he's defense first, the upside comps, as mentioned earlier, Pat Beverly, Avery Bradley, the stats his freshman year at USC a year ago. I'm not going to pretend that I'm an expert. I know of him from what reading I've done before the draft, but I certainly have not watched a ton of USC basketball. One guy who has, as mentioned earlier, is Jeremy Wu. That's the draft expert over at Sports Illustrated and SI.com. He took part earlier this week in a draft special across the Locked On Podcast Network hosted by David Locke, the host of Locked On NBA, in which he broke down a range of players across the entire draft, one of them being Melton, because he was seen as a potential first rounder. And without any further ado, here's what Jeremy Wu had to say about D'Anthony Melton, the newest Rocket.
Melton is a really, tough player, defensive-minded, I think has a lot going for him right now. Despite sitting out the season at USC, getting sort of screwed over a little bit, I think that he, covers a lot of ground. He's good at making opposing ball handlers uncomfortable. He was good at the combine. And I think teams have, I think some of their concerns have been assuaged by their interviews with him. His jump shot does not look broken. I think he'll be able to hit an open shot. But when you're looking at him, you're looking at him as an off-ball player. He's not a true point guard, despite being about 6'2". So if you're taking Melton, I think you need to pair him with an offensive-minded guard to sort of maximize those lineups. But he definitely is a good prospect. I think he's first-round worthy. And I think if he had played the whole year at USC, it might be a more clear case.
Who would be hard to find that 6'2" off-guard player? Who comes to your mind? Is he a Patrick Beverly defensive-type player without the point guard skills? I'm not sure Beverly had the point guard skills when he came out of college.
I think that's actually that's sort of what I was looking for. I think that that's the natural comparison when we talk about defensive-minded guards who are playing off the ball. I think that's the type of role you could see him in. If you look at what they were able to do with him when he was in Houston and sort of let Harden create, sort of park him off the ball, and he does other stuff, I think that's fine. Melton will be able to handle whatever the tougher defensive assignment is in the backcourt. He's long. He'll be able to guard bigger guards. And he's kind of a pest. So I think there's a lot to like.
Again, that was Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated and SI.com, draft expert over there. Thanks to him for his support of the Locked On Podcast Network and stopping by Locked On NBA to talk about all the draft prospects across the association. As far as Melton, who he broke down because Melton was seen as a potential first-round pick, I was thrilled with what I heard. We've seen for a decade now with the Rockets in the Daryl Morey era that with guards, if your quote-unquote weakness is your jump shot, as long as your form is okay, and that's said to be the case with Melton, that's a worthwhile gamble. Because with guards, it's the tools that are the tougher thing, the instincts to acquire. If those are good, if you have the length, the defensive skills, the handles, if you just need to improve your shot, then hours in the gym with professional coaches, that's a good gamble, especially when you're at number 46 overall on what your weakness is and whether it can be improved. Because there's not going to be a perfect player at 46 overall. But in terms of what the Rockets are looking for, I think it's a pretty good fit. And I absolutely love the Pat Beverly comparison because, of course, we've seen Bev have a lot of success in Houston, but especially alongside James Harden. We've heard some of the scouting reports, including Jeremy, mention that he's not a prototype point guard in terms of being the lead guy. Well, that's fine, because with James Harden here and now Chris Paul as well, it's not like there's ever going to be a moment where you're asking Melton to run the offense by himself. What you're asking is to have a secondary player out there who is at least capable of handling the ball, being a combo guard. And that's what Pat Beverly did. He was never the initiator of the offense, but he had enough tools offensively that he could at least keep opposing defenses honest. And then combined with all the value he gave you defensively, it made him very, very useful to the Rockets overall. I understand why the Rockets gave up Pat Beverly, because it was necessary to get Chris Paul here. But other than that, he was a perfect fit. I don't think it's reasonable to expect Melton in year one, especially after not having played this past year with the NCAA benefits investigation in college ball, to make that kind of impact immediately. But down the road, I like it. It's a potential pick, but it fits the need. We mentioned not having a fourth guard. We mentioned that they've already got a lot of bigs, and the Rockets, they hit the position they needed to hit, and a profile that, at least on paper, matches very well with something that they've had a lot of success with in the Daryl Morey era, and when you talk about the Pat Beverly comp, in the James Harden era as well. So it's early. I'll look up more film on Melton in the days ahead, but so far, so good as far as I'm concerned. Second pick, Vince Edwards out of Purdue. That's a little bit different. Edwards, a four-year player, The upside to Vince, 6'8", 225. He's either a small forward or a power forward, but those may as well be interchangeable in Mike D'Antoni's offense. He's an offense-first guy, 15-7 this past year, his senior year at Purdue. Strong program under Matt Painter. So you know he's been in a lot of meaningful situations, a lot of big basketball games. The key stat for Vince, in 3 of his 4 years, he's been right at 40% or better from 3-point range, including just below it this past season. So even on higher volume, even as he stepped up into bigger roles, becoming an upperclassman at Purdue, the shooting has held up. And when you're talking about a late second round pick, the Rockets acquiring that from the Utah Jazz, you're certainly not looking for a guy you're necessarily expecting to be transcendent in terms of offensive creation ability. You're probably looking at one or two skills at the back of the first round that you can work with. And so you're looking at someone who shot 41%, 42%, and 40% from three, all on more than 3 attempts per game his last 3 seasons in college. That's consistent. He said it in the Big Ten, which is consistently the best conference in America for college basketball. The scouting reports I've seen rave about his basketball IQ. I don't know exactly what his upside is, but when you have a consistent 3-point shooter with size at 6'8", who has played at the highest levels, that can plug and play in Mike D'Antoni's system and potentially very early. Melton might be, while Melton is slightly more of a need pick, there's a little more development to him because of the lack of a jump shot, the fact that he didn't play this past year with the NCAA investigation, he only played 1 year in college, period. Edwards being a 4-year pro who consistently shot 40% from 3-point range, playing in the toughest conference in America, that's a guy who might can step in very, very quickly and be a contributor. Not saying you should bank on him in the rotation in day one, but he's a guy that if injuries happen and you need someone to step in at those forward spots next year, he can do that. I don't exactly know what his upside is in terms of creation. His senior year at Purdue was the first time he shot more than 10 attempts per game. So it's not like you're asking him to be the focal point of the offense. But again, consistent 3-point shooting, consistent free throw shooting above 80% every year. The rebounding got better. Actually, between his junior and senior years, he had a big jump. Edwards, 29 minutes per game as a junior year, averaged 4.9 rebounds per game. Senior year, almost the same minutes, 32 instead of 29, but 7.4 rebounds to 4.9. So you did see a jump there. He did seem to play a little bit more physical. But by and large, what you see with Edwards is just consistently in terms of his shot, his IQ, his presence. I don't know what his long-term upside is. I think that Melton is probably the bigger upside play. But quite frankly, there's value in having some certainty at the forward spot because Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, Gerald Green, all guys that were playing for you in the Western Conference Finals, they're all free agents. And hopefully the Rockets can retain all of those guys. We'll see what happens when July 1st gets here with free agency. But for right now, it's nice to have some certainty behind them. And quite frankly, even if you do retain all 3 of Ariza, Bamute, and Green, they're all in their 30s. So at the very least, even if you can retain those guys, then maybe Edwards is a bridge to your next generation of forwards in terms of a guy you can reliably depend on to at least be a role player for the foreseeable future with his high IQ, his shooting, his length. Don't know if he's necessarily a starting quality player in the NBA, but there's enough tools there to where you, at least you can see a path, especially in Mike D'Antoni's system, where shooting, especially when combined with length, is so valuable to where he can be a contributor to the Rockets if he pans out. Now, final segment of the show. Doesn't want to go too much into Melton and Edwards because I'm not going to pretend that I'm experts on either of those guys. We'll have more advanced scouting reports in the days ahead. But to finish up, let's talk about what the Rockets did not do, which was any big move. We did hear some rumors before they were looking into potentially a first-rounder. We heard Grayson Allen tossed out there. We even heard, at one point, a mid-to-late lottery pick with Eric Gordon thrown out there as a possibility. Folks, you hear that almost every year if you follow the Houston Rockets and Daryl Morey closely, and it's just doing due diligence. If the right deal was there from a value perspective and Daryl Morey thought it would be advantageous to him in terms of assets, even with a team this good, he would pull the trigger. But ultimately, right now, the bar is so high that unless there was someone on the line meaning a LeBron James, a Paul George, a Jimmy Butler, whoever it may be, free agent, trade possibility, and or their team willing to do a deal right now for a particular asset in combination with the salary required by the Rockets to make a deal work. There's no way you can trade away Eric Gordon, who was so instrumental to your success in the Western Conference Finals and really throughout the entire season. Friendly contract, just 29 years old. He is a now piece. And right now, Eric is really the only positive asset because the other guys that the Rockets have on the roster, either they're untradeable in terms of James Harden, Chris Paul, they're your foundation, Clint Capella, and well, Paul and Capella are free agents to be anyway, so you couldn't trade them even if you wanted to for some crazy reason. And the other guys being aging role players in their 30s, not a lot of value to teams with high draft picks. Eric Gordon, the only potential fit, and the bottom line with the Eric Gordon test, unless there was someone who could upgrade your odds at a title in 2019, it's tough to see a fit. Daryl Morey will always do his due diligence. You never know. I mean, even if there's not a direct path, if somebody's willing to trade you the number one overall pick for Eric Gordon, hypothetically, of course you'd do it because the value is so good, you'd worry about the rest later. But unless it's something overwhelming like that, the Rockets will roll it over. They'll see if any of the big names pan out in the next week or so. And if they don't, I think they're more than happy to run it back. But I would not take anything more into the report that the Rockets were sniffing around first-round candidates, mid to late lottery picks. They do this every year. That's just part of being a good GM. That's part of being prepared. But ultimately, the Rockets know how close they were one game away from the title in all likelihood this past season. And unless there is a clear upgrade, it did not make sense to let Eric Gordon go. And if you're not letting Eric Gordon go, there's not really enough in terms of value. I suppose you do have future draft picks now. That's the good news. We're through the draft. No big names were dealt. So as mentioned in yesterday's podcast, that's great because now the window is open to trade for LeBron James, Paul George, whoever it may be, because all your future draft picks, the Rockets have them. They're available to trade. But other than Eric Gordon, Thursday night, those were the only positive assets you had. And of course, the Rockets were not going to give up their future first-round picks in any deal on Thursday in terms of going after a draft pick because the 2019, 2020, 2021 first, whichever two of those you want to throw in, well, those are your most valuable currency that you want to construct an offer for LeBron James or Paul George or Jimmy Butler or whoever it may be in the days, weeks, and even months ahead. So in closing, don't want to go too deep tonight because, again, I have not done any sort of advanced scouting to this point. We'll have more about the draftees and any summer league edition in the days ahead. But as far as the rumors about the Rockets, I never took them that seriously. If you follow this basketball team, you hear those every single year. I think Daryl Morey did his due diligence, but ultimately there was not a deal out there that made sense to move Eric Gordon unless a big fish was on the line. And with this being June 21st, that was just probably not realistic from a timing perspective. So we'll roll it over. I do think the good news, having heard a couple of reports, including from Mike Scott of The Athletic, that teams with first-round draft picks were inquiring about Eric Gordon. It reiterates that, yes, Eric Gordon is a positive asset, which I've deduced for some time, but in case there was any doubt, I think the interest, the rumors out there confirm that, yes, as should be the case, he's a desirable property. But for the Rockets, unless there was a clear path to upgrade their 2019 title odds, which with Chris Paul and James Harden is clearly the focus, there's no reason to do a deal now. They did their diligence, but ultimately, as far as the Rockets, the focus is on the here and now, and that's why I'm not surprised or disappointed that draft night was relatively quiet with just the additions of DeAnthony Melton and Vince Edwards with picks 46 and 52, the latter traded for each in the second round as the only official Rockets at the end of the night. Stay tuned in the hours ahead because I'm sure we'll start to hear some deals as far as summer league, training camp invitees, those types of things. Those leak generally in the hours, days, and weeks following the NBA draft and first game of summer league being July 6th, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So we'll definitely have some clarity very soon as the Rockets look to secure their summer league roster and finalize that. Anyway, that'll do it for tonight. Don't want to go too deep because we will have more analysis in the days ahead. Just did, in the immediate reaction, want to give you some insight on the draftees. And again, thanks to Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated for his help and all the things he's done across this Locked On NBA network this week and his insight that he's provided, not just here, but across all the shows. For now, though, we'll put a bow on this episode. Thanks, as always, to you guys for listening. If you want any more content in the interim, best place to get it, Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also an email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, a Facebook account at facebook.com/lockedonrockets, a website at lockedonrockets.com. Always to access your content, ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan community, please don't hesitate to let me know. Also, don't forget iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone. If you're not already subscribed to us, please do. When there's breaking news, as happened tonight with the draft, that's how you'll get notified right when our episodes come out. And in addition to that benefit, if you leave us a five-star review, that's how we make the business model work and look attractive to potential advertisers and make the finances work as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Once again, the headlines of tonight, Rockets draft D'Anthony Melton out of USC and Vince Edwards out of Purdue in the second round, Melton a guard, Edwards a forward, and as far as what happens after that with undrafted free agents, stay tuned. We'll have more on that in the days ahead. For now, thanks as always to listening to me here at Locked On Rockets, your home for regular discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.